Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Beth Lee.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we conclude our conversation entitled Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 4. And so then the Bible says that if it's real in my life, then yes. The next step is I have to teach it diligently.
Yes.
And there's a key word there, moms and dads. How much work does it take to take the pages of God's Word, the truths of God's Word, and put them into the heart of your children in such a way that they think them?
Right.
They feel God's Word.
Right.
It governs the decisions of their life. Mm. That's our aim. That's our goal.
Right. And thus the word diligently, it's a lot of work.
It is. And one of the questions we get asked all the time is about family devotions.
True. Yes.
And there's two things we would say here. First of all, family devotions can be formal and should be.
Yes.
Schedule
it. We have a podcast. I don't know what episode that is. We did do a podcast about family devotions, but we'll review some things here.
Schedule it. We'll just touch it briefly. Schedule it so that... This is kind of the time you have family devotions. I remember reading a book about John Rice's family, and when he was home, he traveled a lot, but when he was home, they had to breakfast every morning, and then before they ran into their day, they all opened a Bible and I think read 3 or 4 or 5 chapters at the breakfast table and then had prayer. That was family devotions. For us, we've always done it at night.
Right.
So we've always taken the time to sit down in the evening. Day's done. Maybe we watched a movie, but the movie's over. The dishwasher started or whatever. The laundry's been folded. It's our final thing of the day, or at least close to it.
Right.
And we just sit down and we've done all kinds of things. We read a passage. We've memorized. This summer, we're reviewing, we're highlighting important
passages.
Bible passages like the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 19, Psalm 100.
Right.
We're just reviewing those with our children and reminding ourselves, what are the Ten Commandments? What are the Beatitudes? Mm-hmm. And just, we're not making a big deal about it, but we're taking the time to put God's Word into our home.
Yes.
And then we just close in prayer. So that's a personal a way to do it formally. But what he says in this passage is different than that.
Yes, it is.
And to talk about that for a moment, how does this passage differ from what we do formally?
Well, I was thinking as I was reading through the passage, it does say that we're to teach our children diligently, and it says that we're to talk about it when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we're going to bed, when we get up in the morning. It also says that we're to bind them as a sign upon our hand and as frontlets between our eyes. So it's just something that we carry with us throughout the day. And then it says that we're to write it. So I would say two things. Our children should hear the word of God from us, and they should see the word of God, whether that be in the formal devotional time where we sit down and we open our Bible as a family and we read through things, or they see it on signs throughout your house. I mean, girls, Hobby Lobby is full of signs.
There's a shout out to Hobby Lobby.
Yes, a shout out to Hobby Lobby for all of the signs that you can find there, or you can order them online. With scripture on them, and it's beautiful decor that you can put in your home, but it's also a way to put the word of God in front of your children's eyes. Yeah. Also, our children, they learned from a young evangelist who traveled with us for a while. He would write a verse right on his hand.
Maybe just the reference or sometimes a part of the verse.
Right. A phrase from the verse, and he would write it on his hand. Of course, nothing permanent, but just something to remind him throughout the day of something he was working on in his personal life. And our boys picked up on that. And often I will see on our boy's hand, I will see a verse reference or I will see a verse. And they just have it right there in front of their eyes all the time, a verse that helps them with their purity or helps them with their emotions, whatever that may be.
Yeah, and some people probably thought along the way that, oh my goodness, the young boys have tattoos. And no, they don't. They just draw on their hand
not
the Word of God.
As long as they're living in this house, that's what we've told them.
And that's something you can decide on your own as you get older. Here's our thinking on it.
Right.
But the simple truth of the matter is it was just a practical way of keeping a reminder of God's Word literally on the back of his hand.
Right.
And it did. I was okay. You know, there's probably a place where that's not as wise, but I was okay with the fact that my boys were putting God's Word on their hand.
Right.
And of course, they were trying to emulate a young evangelist who was cool.
Right.
But at the same time, it is what the text says.
It is.
It may be overly literal, but is exactly the whole point. Mm-hmm. And so moms and dads, what do you do in your house? You watch TV. So here's a way to teach the word of God. Things come on the TV. Mm. What an opportunity to say, well, no, wait a minute, here's what the Bible says.
This is what the Bible says about that.
I remember, and many of you have probably heard me tell the story, we were watching Andy Griffith one night, which, you know, is a sign that we're very fundamental.
And homeschoolers.
We were watching an Andy Griffith episode, and Otis came walking into the jail and locked himself in a jail cell because he's drunk. He doesn't want to go home. And it's a funny part of that movie. It's actually kind of a heartwarming part at times, the way they portray it.
Right.
Or of that sitcom or show or whatever it is. But what an opportunity to say to our children, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible teaches about alcohol. Alcohol is a mocker.
Yes.
It does rage. You're not to look at it when it's fermented. Mm-hmm. You are to be careful about it. It will cause you to say things you wouldn't have said and do things you wouldn't have done and act in ways you wouldn't have acted. In fact, we were last week or recently, by the time this podcast comes out, we were with a pastor and we were talking about a situation in which alcohol was involved in an adulterous matter. Mm. And it was a devastating challenge to a church, to a family, to the fallout of an adulterous matter was huge. And the pastor said, and I said to the pastor, how in the world can a person come to the place where they do what these couples did? And the pastor said, well, I'm convinced it had something to do with alcohol because a couple of years ago they started socially drinking, but it didn't stop there. And alcohol can tear down your inhibitions.
Right.
And that was, of course, that's just an opinion. But the fact of the matter is he followed that up by saying, I've never seen, I don't know that I know a story in which alcohol was a positive effect in a person's life.
Right.
It always ends up as a negative effect. Mm-hmm. So what an opportunity to teach your children.
Yes.
When you're sitting at the table, how many times has our children heard their mother, quote, be ye kind one to another? But the fact is they'll carry that with them. That's something that they take with them.
And I think that's what this passage is talking about. Just as you're going through life, if you're watching television or a situation comes up, you know, we have parents say to us all the time, oh, my children, they argue all the time. They fuss at each other. They don't get along. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you're bigger than they are, hopefully. You are stronger than they are. You are the adult.
You stop are wiser it. Than they are.
Yes. You stop it, especially when they're little, and train them not to do that. But you stop everything and quote the word of God.
Sure.
And if they can't behave after that and they keep fussing at each other, sit down, have them sit down and write the word of God. We have had our children do that many, many times.
Absolutely. And by writing the word of God or being reminded of the word of God, it's just another way of planting God's word in their heart.
It is.
And the outline I've often used based on Deuteronomy 6 is in verse 6, he says, these words that I command you shall be in your heart. So it has to be personally real.
Yes.
Then he says, teach them diligently. It has to be diligently taught. Talk about them when you sit in your house. It has to be continually spoken. Then he says, put them on the posts of your house and on the walls and the doors. It has to be prominently displayed.
Yes.
And even later in the passage, he talks to us, and we'll cover this in another podcast, but he talks about how that our children will ask questions. Mm-hmm. What does this mean, Dad? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. It has to be reasonably explained.
Right.
And, you know, when our kids are younger, you that have little children, if you have a five-year-old, you don't have to explain to your five-year-old why they cannot do this or why you want them to learn obedience.
Yes.
But as your children start getting older, a rebellious why doesn't have to be answered. It has to be corrected. Mm. But a genuine and sincere why.
Yes.
A searching for understanding is an opportunity for us as parents to explain the word of God to our children in such a way that they learn God's word and can apply it to their life.
Yes.
And that's why he says what he says here. We have got to make God's word a living, breathing, vital part of our home.
Right.
And I know we're pretty diligent about this, but it is always a constant battle.
It is constant.
So don't you think because, you know, we do this podcast and because I have this ministry of evangelism that it's easy for some people? No, it's a hard work for any of us.
It is.
Life is just busy.
Yes.
And there's always something else to watch, something else to laugh at, another text to answer.
Right.
But to on purpose be working all the time about God's word, God's word, God's word. I remember even when my boys were teenagers, we did this thing. Job 31:1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes and talks about having pure eyes and a pure heart.
Yes.
And not thinking inappropriately about a girl or about women.
Right.
And so that was Job 31:1. We called it dial 311. Mm-hmm. Hey, dial 311.
Right.
And we'd be walking through the mall and there'd be a poster or driving down the interstate and there's a billboard and it would be a, hey, 311, dial 311, make a covenant with your eyes. I'm not going to let that cause my heart to wander.
It is amazing how when you're going through life, there is a scripture passage to go with whatever. Sure. If you are thankful for something, you can talk about all the blessings and you can quote Psalms that praise the Lord for his blessings to you. If you're talking about creation, there are many verses you can talk about. If you are correcting behavior in your children, you can talk about passages. I know as a homeschool mom, sometimes the children will say to me, why do I have to learn this? Am I ever going to use this? And I just quote the verse, in all labor, there is profit. Because sometimes, no, they're never going to use that again. At least, you know, if they go into professions that have nothing to do with higher math or chemistry.
Sure. And we but in could, the process of learning right, that, they're learning diligence, they're learning character.
Yes.
They're learning to work hard.
They are. And I know even with our daughters, I try to ingrain in them and I try to practice myself the verse, a gracious woman retaineth honor. Mm. And a lot of times, you know, girls can get in a snit over something and it's popular.
In a what?
In a snit.
Get in a snit.
Huh. And it's unfortunately popular even in churches for teenage girls to be mean. Just the mean girl syndrome. Yes.
Girl power.
And Charity and I have lots of conversations, even recently, about, you know what? Mm-hmm. That's not how we are. We're going to be sweet.
That's not Christianity.
A gracious woman retaineth honor.
So we're continually pushing our children towards God's word.
Yes.
And we're continually addressing the issues of the day from God's word.
Yes.
And you don't have to be brilliant about this. You don't have to go to Bible college.
No.
But if God's word is real to you.
Yes.
If you'll read it every day, you'll learn it.
Right.
If you'll just make it a part of your life and look for opportunities to teach God's word to your children.
Yes.
You know, we travel a ton, so I was always thinking of verses we could connect with different things. One summer, we memorized Psalm 19 for that purpose.
Yes.
Where he says,
the heavens declare.
There it is. That's right. How does that verse start? The heavens declare. And so we always love looking at stars.
Yes.
And we would quote that verse. Mm-hmm. So we wanted our kids, when they see stars, to think Psalm 19, verse 1.
The heavens declare the glory
of
God.
Or when we are driving along the interstate and we see this beautiful green pasture.
Yes.
He leads me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Or here's a nice, beautiful lake.
Yes.
You know, he makes me to lie down in those green pastures. He leads me beside those still waters.
Yes.
So we're always looking for opportunities to make God's word a part of our life. You can't succeed with your children and grandchildren without God's word.
And you can't teach it if you don't know it.
Yeah. So how are you doing? Where could you get started? You can be politically conservative and yet not know God's word.
True.
Your kids can go to a Christian school and you can spend thousands of dollars investing in their Christian school education and still not teach them God's word.
Yes.
And it's at home, and home is important.
And it has to be, and we talked about this a little bit about reasonably explaining it, but I know that there are children that are in a Christian school or maybe an Awana program and they memorize so much scripture and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see them just, you know, quoting and quoting and quoting, but then it's not lived out in their life.
Yeah.
And so they have to see it lived out in your life. It's not just something that you're making them memorize. They have to see it lived out in your life, and it's something that you are teaching them to know, but then to live out in their life.
And I would say two things before we go. Number one, as your kids get older, ask them, what do you think you should do based on what the Bible says?
Right.
How should we handle this based on the Bible? So you ask questions.
Right.
That draws their attention to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. So the first thing I would say is ask questions to your children. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I would say is get started. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Right.
Make it a part of your life. And if you never have, then get at it.
Right.
And look for those opportunities. You don't have to, you know, make every detail. What could I do right here? So that, you know, I'm changing a tire. So how am I going to make God's word? But your kids are going to have a lot of questions
about
and
it.
You can point them to God's word.
Yes.
And always be thinking yourself what would God's word have me do here? Because the truth of God's word does change our lives.
Right.
And it's important. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the conclusion of our episode entitled Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 4. Join us next time for another round of questions and answers.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.